Okay, so now it is being recorded. So as I said, for those of you who don't know me and for the sake of the recording, my name is Brenda Carter Blessings with the Society of Souls. For those of you who aren't familiar with the Society of Souls, it is a school, a community, and a path dedicated to the awakening of the human being whose true nature is compassion and action. So this lecture is based on this work, and this time together that we're going to share is based on the understandings that come from this work. So let's just settle in here for a few minutes. Ask everyone just to kind of breathe and bring themselves here. You may have been doing a bunch of things to be able to come here. Just breathe. Okay. So in our search for happiness and fulfillment, we look in many places for knowledge and nourishment. How do we recognize true nourishment in our lives? What does it mean to nourish ourselves? How do we receive the mana that is continually being offered in the preciousness of our lives as they are right now? I decided to look up the word nourishment, and I found things like substances needed for health and growth, and synonyms for nourish such as attend, cherish, comfort, cultivate, encourage, support, and sustain. And antonyms, which are the opposite of nourish, such as abandon, deprive, and starve. By themselves, these are pretty powerful, powerful enough to sit with for a while. To just ask ourselves questions about how we attend and cherish or encourage or support and sustain ourselves, and also how we don't do that. We could spend days exploring this, looking at nourishment from many different angles, and really asking ourselves very deep questions about what does it mean to nourish? What keeps us from nourishing ourselves. So we're just going to touch into it today. In the work of a Society of Souls, we look at the healing of the personal self and the awakening to the impersonal or the transcendent as one thing, that they co-arise together, that as we heal our personal self, which we could call the ego personality, we also awaken to the impersonal transcendent. So I want to begin from the point of view of the personal self. Our relationship with nourishment begins here. The fundamental matrix of this world is relationships, As individual, separate beings, we often forget this truth, that we are in an ongoing, continually unfolding relationship of life, with life. I was astonished yesterday. I picked up newspaper, and you know there's a lot of articles that talk about how farms, the number of farms are decreasing every day, and there was one talking about in Montana where I live now, and this one woman who was a farmer, she said she went into this grocery store, and she was astonished, and she was walking around, she was talking, and just feeling, you know, how farmers around her are going out of business, and the farmland's being sold. And she said something to the woman who was next to her because she was in frustration about the prices and the increasing prices of food. And the woman said to her, oh, well, that's not a problem. I'll just go to the grocery store. And I was like, what? What kind of relationship do we have that we've forgotten that food actually comes out of the ground and that it's not just processed stuff out of machines, and it's quite something. So anyway, this relationship of life with life includes both the outer world that I was just discussing, as well as the inner world, the world of our feelings, emotions, and thoughts. We are in a mutually interdependent relationship of giving and receiving nourishment. What is also true is that we long for the right nourishment, which will sustain us, heal us, and support us in being and becoming all of who we are. We often feel incapable of giving ourselves this nourishment, the right thing that we need in the right moment. We struggle with knowing, where am I? What do I really need right now? And then how do I give myself what I need or receive it from another? We struggle with having a whole relationship with our bodies, minds, and hearts. It all feels very complex, from the food that we eat to our relationship with rest and activity, our relationships to work and to play, who we engage with, friends and family. We long to receive love and to give love, to learn and to grow, to explore and discover, to understand ourselves, others, and the world around us. Some of this is conscious, some of it's unconscious. We long to know that our lives have meaning and purpose, and that as an individual human being, our life matters. That we have meaning and purpose in the great scheme of life and death, and the great questions of who am I, why do I exist, what is the purpose of a human life. This is further complicated by the reality that we all have childhoods in which our needs were not met to some degree, in which we long for and needed specific kinds of nutrients, such as kindness and compassion, understanding and forgiveness, respect for who we are, respect for our differences. And we found them to be in short supply. Our memories of these experiences often stand in our way of knowing what we want, what we need, and in receiving it. Based on our memories, our hurts from our childhood, we can be convinced we're just simply going to be disappointed or hurt, or it's impossible to get what we want. To protect ourselves, we've learned to distance, not only from the rest of the world, but also from ourselves. We've cut ourselves off from our very own hearts, our minds, and our being. We've learned to laugh when what we really want to do is cry. To say yes in moments we want to say no. To push ourselves when we just want to sit down. To try to be an idealized version of who we are. And cannot accept ourselves as we are right now in this moment. We treat ourselves as machines and as objects instead of living, unfolding, precious processes of being and becoming. We push ourselves to be an object of perfection or an image we have in our heads. And then we judge ourselves, beat ourselves up for A, not being this image, and B, for being so weak, so imperfect, not smart enough, not beautiful enough, whatever enough. We've pieced together these ideal images from our histories, our parents, our schools, and our culture. And then we bow down before them. This is particularly true in our modern world where appearance is everything, where there's an obsession with image, where we're bombarded by images on the outside as well as on the inside that tell us we have to keep trying, striving to be the perfect mother, the perfect wife, the perfect friend, the list goes on. What we don't realize is that we're trying so desperately to be it, this object, this image, this thing, this machine who can keep pushing and keep pushing, that this ongoing activity of trying to be this image and judging ourselves for not matching it is precisely what cuts us off from nourishment, from comfort, or from the encouragement and support we most need right here and now. We try to comfort ourselves, but we don't know the right ways to do it, because often it's engaged with these images. We're so engaged in the activity of trying to be something, to improve ourselves, make ourselves over in these images, that we're not really here with life as it is. Nor do we treasure ourselves as we are. We created a set of internal images to save ourselves from the confusions and pains of growing up, or from the lack of encouragement or support that we've needed along the way. As children, we needed to do this. It allowed us to go on. But as adults, we continue to do this every day. And thus our great sadness and the struggle with nourishment. The nourishment we need cannot be found in these images or snapshots or in the activity of questing to be someone else or to be someplace else. We are not a series of static images left over from our history, nor are we a series of glossy photos to be captured as an ideal future. This same creativity that was used to save our lives can be used to create a new relationship to ourselves. I say that again. This same creativity that we've used to save our lives from confusion or embarrassment or not knowing can be used to create a new relationship to ourselves that is more nourishing or more whole. Does it mean we cease wanting to be happy or wanting to be more fulfilled or wanting to change or grow? But it does mean that we need to become more willing to be kind, which means accepting and compassionate with the one we are right now. To enter into a compassionate and healing relationship with our imperfections, with our confusions, with our doubts, with our uncertainties. We want to learn to welcome in all of who we are. And in this activity, create a home for ourselves. All of ourselves. Not just the aspects that we like. But all of who we are. When we can do this, we realize and can awaken to just how precious we are, how often do you realize that you're precious? Do you matter to you? Sometimes we're so engaged in trying to prove ourselves to the outside world that we're worthy and valuable through all these images that we forget that who we are is precious. That caring for ourselves has to begin with us. This is the first important step of nourishment, creating a home, a place where all of you can exist. You, this imperfect, crazy, wonderful, tender, vulnerable, childish, grown-up human being. This imperfect one that you are. This is an ongoing practice. Here in the life we have right now is where we receive the nourishment that is available to us like mana. Being offered in the bone and marrow of our own being, in the changing, pulsing movement of our lives. It's not someplace else. It's here. In creating this home for ourselves, We can also know what would be nourishing to us, what would sustain us, what would support us, what would encourage us. We are attending to ourselves and creating this home. This affects everything that we do, and therein is part of the challenge. Because if we really care for ourselves, if we really nourish ourselves, it changes everything. We might find ourselves saying no when previously we said yes. We might find ourselves sitting down instead of pushing. We might change the relationships, the people that we engage with. But I say again, we are precious. We're a process of beauty. That's the truth of us. Human beings are a process of beauty, of being and becoming. We can only know this through being willing to be ourselves as we are right now, through being willing to awaken to the images that we've created once to save our lives and now continually keep us imprisoned. You are so much more than an image. You are so much more precious, beautiful, than an image, any image. I don't care how shiny or perfect or anything that it is. The true light that you are, the luminous being that you are, comes through by you being willing to be yourself. Which strangely means to stop trying so hard. I'm going to open this up to the group. We'll have a little discussion, and then, as I said, I'll drop us down another level, and we'll have a little meditation. I apologize, my throat this morning. So let me see if I can do the technical thing, which is it says I've got to push this and push it again. Okay. Okay, you're all unmuted now.
Hi, Brenda.
Ooh, echo. Is it still there? Try it again.
Can I make a suggestion?
Oh. Okay, I'm going to mute it back again and just you'll mute one at a time. Let me try this. That'll do it. Okay, we'll have to do it this way. Yes. Star 6 if you wish to speak. And that'll unmute you, and you can talk. And then you can star 6 and mute yourself back again, because otherwise it's, whoa, I don't know what the echo was. So.
Hi, Brenda. This is Fred.
Hi, Fred.
Much of what you have been speaking about is very familiar to me. I'm teaching this semester at our community college, and my students are all happen to be ninth graders. And I've been sharing much of this with them, and I was wondering if you could recommend a book that would be appropriate for 14 and 15 year olds, or whether your lecture is in print and I could get access to it.
My lecture will be in print. I'm going to put it up on my website. It'll either be this afternoon or tomorrow, so you'll be able to get it if you'd like to.
Now, because I'm dealing with 15-year-olds, I also have to deal with their parents.
Uh-huh.
And I'm wondering if you have any suggestions short of creating some sort of Dead Poets Society and doing this all secretly so that I can...
I think you should tell you that I don't think the parents would object to this. I mean, certainly some parents, that are very engaged in their own images, they'll have feelings around it. At the same time, parents, for the most part these days, are also quite worried about the fact that their kids are trying so hard to match their star, to be this person that wants to be on the reality show, which quote unquote isn't reality. So a lot of parents are concerned about this. So I think if you just simply let them know that you're doing this, I think they would be welcome it, actually, for the most part.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you. Try to think of a book. I'm thinking of this. If I think of one, I will post it with my with the lecture.
Hello.
Hi.
My name is Liz.
Hi, Liz.
And I wanted to suggest to Fred that the book by Krishnamurti, Think on These Things, I think is a fabulous way to introduce these topics to young people. It's a lecture that he gives at a school, and it's very good and good material as far as I believe, and it helps also to introduce parents to the topics, kind of becoming conscious as to why young people do things and why, why I guess we do the things we do. That's all.
Okay.
Brenda?
Yes?
This is Kathy.
Hey, Kathy.
I wish you'd say more about something you said near the end of the lecture, or the part you did, is you said, we are a process of beauty, of being and becoming.
Mm-hmm.
Especially the being and becoming.
You know, Kathy, if we, we've learned to be a series of images or push to be a series of images. But when we're not doing that, we actually find ourselves in, as we can say, a lot more trouble, and life is much more interesting. because the trouble that we're in is that we allow ourselves to be as we are right now, which means we can be confused, we can be lost, we can be wise, we can be vulnerable, we can be tender, we can be, when we're happy, we're happy, we're sad, we're sad. So as a being, we are continually changing. And to trust who we are right now also allows us to become more and more of ourselves, more and more of who we already are. And it's trouble because it isn't trying to conform to any image that we have. And we have a greater ability to laugh at ourselves, to laugh at our attempts to be something, and to realize that attempt to be something is really the attempt to feel whole, to feel alive, to feel true, to feel ourselves. And that actually it takes both hard work and it takes relaxing. It takes saying, okay, in this moment, I'm just going to be who I am. So this being and becoming, it's you continually surprise yourself. Again, that's the trouble that I mean. The becoming is you find that you say things that are wiser than you expected to say, that are sometimes funnier than you expected them to be, and they're sometimes sadder, and they're more outrageous than you might be comfortable with. But how amazing is that? Then we have real relationship in which, you know, there's this constantly being and becoming, there's this dynamism to life. And we are that. We are these dynamic processes. We're not a thing. It is so prevalent, as we know, in our culture. Certainly in the United States, but also in Europe and also everywhere that I look, these images that are of basically their their machines and their static images, and it's deadening. You look around you in the modern buildings that are being built. You look around at every organization. There's such deadness because it's all based on an idea of something, or a set of ideas, or a set of concepts about something, and isn't the actual direct being and becoming. It actually denies life. You know, it denies the beauty of who we are. And human beings are much more interesting than a set of images. So we are that. We are a process. If we accept that we are a process, constantly being and becoming, constantly being this and then this and then this, and becoming and this, then life changes dramatically. Does that help, Kathy?
Yeah, thank you. What popped into my mind when you were talking was, I am amazed when I look at people, you know, if I'm in a crowded place, and just look at the differences in everybody. And it seems absurd that all these wonderful different human beings would strive for one particular image.
Isn't it amazing?
It is.
It's just astonishing. So we need to see that. We also need to know for ourselves, because, again, we don't want to separate ourselves out from that. We also need to know that we all do this in very, very subtle ways. Maybe we're not doing it in the, you know, maybe some of us have disengaged from some of the more gross ways of doing it. But we all do it. Anytime you put a smile on your face when someone asks you how you're doing and you're not really doing well, I'm not saying you have to necessarily tell them because there's choices within relationship, but if you pretend to yourself that you're doing better than what you're actually doing, then you're doing that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Brenda?
Yes.
Are you ready for a new question? Or?
Sure.
Okay, this is Judith Garten. I haven't seen you in a while. Hello.
Hi, Judith.
I was wondering whether you could talk more about knowing your needs in the moment. If you've had a muscle that's been atrophied because you were so, I'll talk personally, because I've been so focused on the other, that I have difficulty in knowing what I need. I know I need something, but I can't get to it. It feels like a fog or a blank space. And I'm wondering if you have some thoughts about that, how to get to them. Yeah.
Okay. Judith, what you said actually has the wisdom built into it, which is what you said is that it's been atrophied, but you've also said, I know I need something, but it's like a fog.
Yeah.
So what you need to engage with at this moment is to have a relationship with the one who knows she needs something but doesn't know what it is that she needs. Meaning that you need to sit down with. I mean, you could do this literally, meaning that you could say, here in this chair is the one who's going to, I'm going to have this one sit in the chair who knows she needs something but doesn't know what she needs. And you could, you know, engage in a dialogue with that aspect of you. But you also could journal and write about this one who knows she needs something but doesn't know what it is that she needs. What you have to do is be willing to invite in or welcome in this aspect of you who has been ignored for a while, who's been so focused on the other that she's forgotten to pay attention to herself. So you have to create a home for her. You have to create a place for her, which means, I mean, literally, it's like you know, this is a guest that's been in your house, so to speak, or she actually lives in your house, but you've been ignoring her for, you know, months or weeks or whatever you've been doing. So she may be reluctant to talk at first, but there is a way that you can engage in dialogue. I'm going to give you a meditation at the end, which has to do with welcoming in these aspects of yourself. But you could just journal about this. You need to give it space. In order for you to know in the moment, you actually have to give space at other time where you have more spaciousness. You have to take a half hour somewhere else in which you actually spend time with yourself writing and journaling and trying to get to know who you are. Because the in the moment is a pressure to, like, know where I am in the moment. That only happens as an automatic thing if you've actually given space to, spaciousness to, this process of being with yourself. And then automatically or naturally, what you need, who you are, where you are, shows up. Hmm. Does that make sense, Judith?
Yes, it does. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Brenda, this is Brigitte.
Hi, Brigitte.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Going back to the beginning of your lecture where you were saying that all the synonyms for nourishment and opposite of it,
mm-hmm.
are we most of the time, or we probably most of the time are triggered, that's what I think, if we feel deprived or starved or abandoned by ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
But does that also... Because the hardest part I find in daily life is to see where you're not nourishing yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So is it by the negative we most of the time become aware of that we are not nourishing ourselves?
Yes, that's true. We usually get to a place where enough of us is screaming, that that we're unhappy and that we feel deprived and starve before we start paying attention. Because, again, there's a lot of pressure. You look around you, you know, in our culture and in our family systems, and there's a lot of pressure to not pay attention to yourself and to not be yourself. So, to push yourself, and you have these internal pressures as well that you've from your childhood and things where you're trying to be an image. So it takes practice to find your way back to yourself. And it takes ongoing practice. It's a daily practice. Even if you move to doing it weekly, if you've never done it, that's an improvement. It's like homeopathic drops. It begins to seep in. But, yes, it usually is where something in us starts really screaming that we feel deprived, we feel starved, we feel abandoned. And if you feel that in the moment, if you can let yourself know in that moment I feel abandoned or I feel starved or I feel deprived, if you can pause and even give spaciousness or kindness or acceptance or compassion, these are all the same thing, but different ways of describing it. If you give this to the abandoned one, to the one who feels deprived right then and there, then you're already beginning the process. You're like,
mm-hmm.
oh, Yeah. To be kind to that one that feels that. Even if you can only do it for 5 minutes, you know, to sit and be with that one. That's something, Brigida.
Yeah. Yeah, because the hardest thing is to recognize what the questions you said. How does it look like, this nourishment, and what does it mean? You can only do that when you stand still and observe and write or feel.
Right. You can only do it by being willing to stop and sit and be with yourself. If you don't engage in relationship with yourself, you won't be able to discover. You won't be able to find out what you need. And if you cannot do it in that moment. But see, the thing is, often we can do it in that moment, but we tell ourselves we can't. You know, but unless the train's getting ready to run over top of you, the truth is, more often than not, we actually can give ourselves that 5 minutes. We actually can stop that. Unless there's a true emergency, a baby falling out of a high chair, something that's right in front of us that is a true emergency. Most of the time when we say we cannot give ourselves that time, it's an excuse. We've made that up. I'm not saying we're not all busy. I'm not saying we're not all pressured. I'm not saying all that's true. And sometimes it takes going to the bathroom, and then sometimes I know children are still knocking on the door, Mom, Mom, Mom. But nonetheless, we can still give ourselves some time, you know, where we can actually stop and be with ourselves.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. So I'm going to go back. I have a little bit more I want to share, and a little meditation I want to take you through, and I thank you all for being present, so present today. I can really feel you showing up for yourselves. This is good. Okay. I'm going to try this one more time. See, I muted everyone.
Hello?
You unmuted yourself, so I guess I don't need to push another button. I guess I'm okay. Okay.
My name is Patricia.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
I'm sorry, what?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
I'm Patricia.
Hi, Patricia.
I'm suffering tremendously from the loss of I've been abandoned, and I'm constantly victimized all my life, but recently it's been from an abusive marriage, and he'll never leave me alone. I feel like I've lost my full self-worth, but I want to recover. I'm listening to you. I hear you very clearly. How do you get the strength with all the people that want to victimize me?
I'm sorry, so you can't hear this
husband.
Last part. I couldn't hear this last part. How do you what?
How do I survive all these people that want to victimize me? Why do I allow it? What's wrong with me? When I don't get it. Did you understand me?
I think I heard it. Yes, I think I heard it.
I'm very emotionally, mentally, and physically broken. At this moment, I'm sorry.
There's nothing for you to apologize for, sweetie. I think it's great that you're showing up. I think it's great that you're saying this. This is the healing always begins by knowing that we don't know what to do, by being willing to name where we are, by being willing to be where we are, and to know that we don't know the next step for ourselves. I really feel what you're saying. I really hear what you're saying. It's going to take you time. I'm going to say to you, there are a couple of practical things. One, I think you need some support, whether that is the support of a healer or the support of a therapist or both. So I do think you need some support to make this change that you're wanting to make, because it sounds like that there are a lot of people around you who are not supportive, who are also abandoning, who are depriving, who don't want you to be nourished or held or cared for. So I think you need some other kinds of support. But having said that, right this moment, what you're doing is a huge thing. I appreciate so much the courage it took for you to say what you just said. The courage for you to say, to really express the pain that you feel. I'm deeply moved by it. It's so hard to acknowledge that we have created a life that doesn't support us, that doesn't love us, that we have not loved ourselves, that we have made ourselves unimportant. It takes courage to say that.
I don't think anyone ever loved me but my parents. I don't think I've ever been worthy of love.
You don't know that you're worthy of love. I'll agree with that. That you're not worthy of love, I won't agree with. because anyone who can say what you just said, first of all beings are worthy of love on one level. That's true. But also, what you just said, with the courage that it took for you to just say that, trust me, you are worthy of love, sweetie. And you don't have to trust me. I'm just saying it to be true.
But nobody loves me.
I think it's important for you to engage with this, sweetie. I'd like to encourage you to email me at my website. It's got my email address. If you'd like a recommendation for someone to work with,
okay.
I really want you to get the healing support you need, because you matter. You are worthy of this, and you need this for you to take the next set of steps. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Is it okay if I go on, sweetie?
Oh, yes, yes. Thank you. I'm sorry.
Okay. Nothing. Again, you have nothing to apologize for. I'm really glad you spoke up. Really glad.
Thank you.
So I'd like to take this just a step further. As we've discussed today, most of the elements that we call an I, the self, the personal self, is a series of concepts or images taken from our history. We believe that we are someone, a person, an object, a body, a form. And we're continually engaged in the activity of trying to improve this person, this self. Now I'd like to introduce another thought in another direction. For a moment, I'd like you to contemplate this. The house assembles itself. The house I'm referring to is the self. The house assembles itself. This is not our usual understanding. Our usual understanding is that each of us builds the house. We create ourselves. We grow ourselves. We make ourselves. This is true, but one does not negate the other. Reality likes to make itself. In the Magi process, which was created by Jason, who founded the school, there's a step in the process that says, the strands of change are freed, and the intent of the world, which is to heal, becomes possible. The next line says, the world then goes about its business. These lines are referring to this idea that reality likes to make itself. Reality is an undivided whole, a process of continually unfolding wholeness, or what we could call the illuminating urge to be. This is not something we can understand completely from the point of view of the personal self, and yet it is also true. There is a divine intelligence within each of us and within all of life. We are each made as particular, specific, divine processes of unfolding light and life. I say that again. We are each made as particular, specific, divine processes of unfolding light and life. Awakening to this, realizing this, living into this, is something that we have to do moment by moment. This is the great mystery. As we can be who we already are, these precious personal beings, we also learn to awaken ever more fully to this innate wisdom or divine intelligence. And we're able to receive it and take it in. This intelligence informs us, helps us to know what we need right now. It also brings us the right nutrients that we need to grow and to become, guides us, tends to us as the flowers and trees are tended to by the sun and the rain. The interdependent nature of all of reality is also more available to us. Here's a strange thing. We contribute to life by being who we are. And life contributes to our becoming. If the earth were missing, flowers could not manifest their beauty. If sunlight were missing, again, no beauty. if any piece were missing, this mysterious thing called wholeness would not be here. Even the winter frost, which can be so harsh and deep, helps the trees and the flowers quicken in the earth on their way to the day they arise in beauty. All of ourselves must be consciously allowed to exist for our wholeness to be born in its fullness of beauty and being. As we can welcome in who we are, all that we are, grace and nourishment are also revealed. Doesn't mean that we don't continue to have challenges and struggles. What it does mean is that we're increasingly able to receive the mana or nourishment hidden in our lives. In receiving life as it is, we are nourished. Denying life, we feel starved. We quest but do not find what we seek. Choosing life, life reveals its mysteries to us, nourishing us. The impeccable intelligence built into life reveals itself as you, as ever-present preciousness and beauty. Make a home inside of yourself for you. I'd like to lead you through this meditation. I ask you to just close your eyes for a few minutes and just silently be with your breathing. The purpose of this meditation is to welcome in all of who you are. So I want to begin by welcoming in different aspects of your personal being. Say to yourself, you, the one who forgets to be kind to yourself, come in. You are welcome here. You, the one who is frightened and scared or uncertain, come in. You are welcome here. You, the one who wants to control life and how it appears, come in. You, the one who doesn't know how to receive nourishment, come in. Whatever comes into your mind or heart, whether it is an aspect of yourself that you like or do not like, it does not matter. You simply want to allow all of these different aspects of you to arise and welcome them in here. here and now. You, the one who's selfish. You, the one who's greedy. Whatever arises. Now realize this. The who that you are includes these aspects and is also more than these. Open yourself now to the mystery of you. Welcome in all of you. You are a unique unfolding process of beauty, continually being and becoming. Welcome this in, even if only a little bit. When you're ready, open your eyes. Come back to space. I'm opening it up again. Do this gently. And you may push star 6 again. If you'd like to share. check in. Patricia, how are you doing?
I'm okay. Okay. Thank you. This has been wonderful.
Thank you for your heart.
Thank you. Thank you for your talent. Your awakening.
Brenda, this is Brigitte. Can I ask a question?
Sure.
You said two things which seems a contradiction to me. You said, first you said it's so hard to acknowledge that we have created a life that doesn't support us.
Mm-hmm.
And then you said, your house or yourself assembles itself,
mm-hmm.
which is to me the opposite of
mm-hmm.
That we created a life that doesn't support us.
Uh-huh.
That it sounds
both
like
are,
an
both are true though, sweetie. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, Brigitte. Go ahead.
No. But the one. If I acknowledge that I have created a life that doesn't support me, then
mm-hmm.
I have also, say, the active possibility to create a different life that does support me.
That's correct.
And then all that has happened to me in my life, I'm, say, so to speak, guilty of letting that happen to myself.
Well, see, therein lies the difficulty. You know, as human beings, we're so good at beating ourselves up.
Not that I feel it, but it's easily interpreted that way.
No, I understand that. It's present in some New Age thinking as well. You know, it's very easy to go to, you know, I created all this, I made all this happen, and it's a strange thing because again, it's a paradox. On the one hand, we do need to accept responsibility for the ways that we continually do not nourish ourselves, do not value ourselves, do not treasure the one that we are. And we need to know that we bought into a set of images from our childhood, and we bought into a set of images even today as we have moved into adulthood. And knowing that we have bought into these images is important in order to be able to change them. That's true, what you just said. What we also need to understand is that we bought into these images because we try to save ourselves from confusion, from uncertainty, from not knowing what to do, from being lost. So there was actually an intelligence that we're not in charge of in that way. There's an intelligence in us that says, if I cannot get nourishment, or if I cannot get the wholeness of what I need, but I still need something, I'm going to take in the something that's being offered. So let's say, because again, you're a growing being, and this is true of us always because we're constantly being and becoming, and we're sitting at a table, and much of the food that's being offered us is food we cannot eat. And yet we'd starve if we didn't take in some of that food, some of that image. We'd die. So there's an intelligence in us that says, take a bite of this. At least you'll go on until you can get to the place where you can get the thing that you need. Take a bite of this until you can get to the next step where you can get more of what you need. The struggle is that then we continue to go on through life believing that we're still little children and we still have to take in the nourishment that's being offered to us even if it's not exactly what we need. You know, as little beings, you know, we had the parents we had the life that we had the, but as adults, we have choices. We forget we have those choices. We act as if we don't. And
then at this, sorry.
Go ahead, say. Go ahead, Birgitte.
But then, yeah, but then if reality likes to make itself,
yes,
then everything will become all right because there will be this calling for change anyway.
You know, it's the constant thing. Reality is always calling us to embrace a larger wholeness, a greater truth than the one we're living. But our ability to answer that call, it's always going to happen. It's continually, it's built into reality that we're always being called to wholeness. You know, I was talking to someone the other day, and they told me that they felt very stuck in their lives. And I said to them, we need to reframe being stuck. Being stuck is simply that reality, wholeness, life is presenting us with a greater truth than we know how to take in. So we're stuck in an old pattern, an old way of being, because we're afraid to open up and take in this next level of truth. Because again, it's the constant being and becoming. As long as we want to maintain stasis only, stay the same, be the same, keep everything the same, and that's built into us too, we want that. But if we only want that and that alone, then we don't get to discover that we are so much more than that. One of the great joys of life is to wind up being surprised by yourself, to be surprised by what's possible for you, to be surprised by the connections, the relationships, the life that you can have. We don't get to find that out as long as we only hold on to the old images, the old set of things that served us. We have to understand, the intelligence in it is they served us well at one point in our lives. They were important. So don't beat yourself up for it. They were important for you, but they may not serve you now. And we may have to be willing to let go of them in order to find something much more beautiful, much more true for us now. Because the who that you are is not the same person you were yesterday or the day before that or the year before that or the years before that.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Does that help?
Yes, yes, it helps. It's I understand. It's the both of them are true, and there is still an active choice in taking up my responsibility for...
Absolutely, absolutely. But take up the responsibility with kindness, not the responsibility in terms of, ooh, I'm bad because of that, but responsibility of kindness. I did my best. I continue to do my best. And I also have choice.
Yeah.
That's the kindness.
Yeah, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Others?
Thank you very much.
You're welcome very much.
Oh. Linda?
Yes.
Do you hear me?
Yes.
Here's Jacqueline.
Hi, Jacqueline.
I was thinking that I'm so scared of change, but I want it so definitely change. What a paradox that is. In especially in relations and in my life, I want to change, but I'm so scared of it. So I don't move in a way. I move, I get angry, and I beat myself up, and I beat the others up. But I'm so scared to take a real step. I take a step, and then I step back again.
I understand. So my teleclass next week, I feel like you set me up for it. But my teleclass next week is about change. And precisely for that reason, because I saw these two as one conversation about this and then about change and the difficulties we have with change. So if you can't come to the next teleclass, if you can, I'd love for you to be there. If you can't, it will be recorded and you can listen to it. But I understand that's the crux of it. It is we want that, and we actually need to be able to change in order to have a fulfilled, joy-filled, full. I keep saying full, but it's all that. In order to have a life, in order to have and to be who we are, to be in this full journey, and yet change is very difficult for people. I really get that.
Yeah, well, clinging on tradition and not being good enough, or taking all these images, what you said, or all these voices in you who beat yourself up that you don't dare to do it in a way.
Yes, there it is. Yep.
Ah, I get so tired of that.
Yeah,
but I will try. It's next week Sunday as well at the same time?
Yes, next week Sunday, same time.
Okay, well, I didn't this time. I registered, but I didn't get your number, so I got it from somebody else. But
I
will
register again.
Oh, it didn't
come through to you? That's interesting. Okay,
But I will try to register.
It'll be
again
the same number. It's actually the same number next time.
Okay.
So whatever you call today, you just call that again next week. And like I said, if you can't do it, it will be recorded, so you can listen to it. But I really do understand this. It is. Again, that's why I saw them as one conversation.
Yeah, thank you.
Welcome.
Hi, Brenda. This is Lee. Do you have time for another question?
Sure.
Okay. What's coming up for me is surrender, the connection between surrender and nourishment. And I'm seeing and feeling surrender in a new way, because it's been a word that's given me trouble, I guess resistance. But now, with what you've been saying, I'm feeling in the process of, well, letting go and also dropping in and surrendering to the nourishment that is here. So I wonder if you could speak about whether there is whether you see a surrender part of this as well.
It's interesting. I, of course, named it as, welcoming in all of yourself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I would say that what you've just said is absolutely true, because it's surrendering to the who that you are right now and surrendering to the life that you have right now, meaning that it's the surrender of accepting and receiving the nourishment that's in your life as it is right now and in who you are right now.
Mm-hmm.
Our fear with that is that if we surrender to it, then it won't change. But the truth is, it's only as we surrender to it and accept it and give it room that it can change, that it can change in a way that is more healing, that is more whole. People don't really change through beating themselves up. They really don't. All that might do is make you more disciplined for a little bit of time, but that severity will catch you, and then you wind up, falling apart from it. So it doesn't really help us. So yes, I would say what you said is true, Lee. I would say that it is.
And I feel it on the personal and the impersonal.
It's completely true, because when we surrender to the life that we have now, it's then that all of reality can reveal to us that we are more than we thought we were, and can reveal to us the precious beauty that we are. Because we don't think of ourselves that way. I don't believe many of you go, most of you are probably, we all have these thoughts that if I let myself really feel my preciousness, that I'm just going to be narcissistic. Of course, the opposite's true. When you let yourself feel your preciousness, then everyone around you is precious too. It's not narcissistic. You just look around and go, whoa, they're not like me, and aren't they beautiful? That's what happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else want to say anything?
Yes, Brenda, this is Maris.
Yes, hi.
Hi. You were talking about we being a process of beauty.
Uh-huh.
And you're always also talking about the self as a home, as a house.
Mm-hmm.
Yes?
Yes.
And
let's put it this way. It's a house that's continually being built and continually being rebuilt and rebuilt again. So.
Okay. Because I have a fixed picture
of
a house, and
image.
The house is stable. So, stable.
Right.
And that's not. Okay, then I understand. Thank you.
Yeah. I could have named it. I wanted to go with a structure because we also do have a structure. You look at you and, we see a certain body, a certain, hair, certain eyes, certain. So we do have a structure. At the same time, it's a structure that's continually being rebuilt. That's both on a physical level. We know this. Our bodies are constantly dying and changing. And also on an emotional level, we're constantly changing and becoming. So, yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. So thank you all for coming today. I'm grateful that you came.
Thank you, Brenda.
Thank you. As I said, it will be up. Should be up on my workshop. Should be up on my website in a few days.
Brenda, what is
your
website address?
What's your website?
It's in order for you to get here, you had to register, right? No, okay. It's www. It's okay. It's www. Brenda Carter Blessings is one name. Even
Brenda.
If you type in Brenda Blessings, it'll take you there too. But it's Brenda, Brenda, Carter, Carter, Blessings, Blessings. There is an S on the end. .com, and it'll be on the site. It'll be under audio, and the written version will be with it. So should be up in a few days. So check the middle of the week, end of the week. Give me a few days to get it done.
Thank you, Brenda. Do you hear me? This is Christina from Finland.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
Good to hear your voice, Christina.
Wonderful to be with you again.
Thank you. I'm so glad you came.
See you next Sunday again.
Okay. Thank you all.
Thank you, Brenda. Thank you. Bye. Thank you. Bye. 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 B
Thank you.
Brenda, this is Patricia. Thank you so much. Thank you.